Hi, this is Search CRM Executive Editor Dom Vloginger.
This is SearchCRM.com news writer Jesse Scardina.
And welcome to the latest Pipeline podcast. So Jesse, last week you went to the Chief MarTech conference in Boston. Now this is interesting. It is not a vendor-sponsored conference.
So not an analyst or an analyst company conference either. It was a little different.
So what was it like, and what was the main sort of draw for people? I know that Scott Brinker, the Chief MarTech himself, has a very, very colorful and popular graph of MarTech marketing automation logos that everybody loves, all 5,000 vendors. But what kind of person would go to get valuable content from a conference like this?
Yeah, the attendees and the entire theme of the show is very much a marketer's conference. There was no specific vendor putting it on, but there was a great influx of vendors there with their little booths and swag giveaway gifts. I mean, all the big players in the marketing space. Marketo was a premier sponsor. Oracle Marketing Cloud was there. At least four or five dozen other smaller marketing automation, marketing software vendors. But again, even if you're looking at 70, 80 vendors there, the whole reason, the whole thing with the marketing tech landscape is that it's ballooned into over 5,000 different products and tools available. So really the people that were there were marketers, marketing reps, marketing managers, who are really trying to figure out how to navigate this space that has just exploded from, I think around 2010, there was maybe the graph that Scott Brinker created had maybe a couple hundred different marketing tools on it. And like we've said, the latest infograph from 2017 that he put out had over 5,000 different options. So there was a lot of best practices in the marketing space as far as what your department should look like when it comes to buying tools, kind of organizing your stack. And then there was definitely vendor presence there to try to capitalize on all these marketers who are wondering what we should buy next.
And what was in the sort of conference sessions? If I'm an attendee, what are they preaching from the lectern?
There was a couple case studies that I went to. One on how Staples has kind of worked with different marketing programs to really digitize its process. Digital transformation, as it has been for many of the conferences we've gone to this year, was an ongoing theme that the sessions touched on. And I think that's something that just a lot of marketing organizations are struggling with, is how do we continue to upgrade our process when we can barely keep track of what tools are coming out?
Right, and what did Staples end up doing? Did they talk about a specific marketing MarTech stack they used, or they're talking about process, or how?
Yeah, it wasn't. There wasn't much talk about specific stacks, because those are so unique to every company and the processes they're trying to solve.
Right.
But the thing that execs from Staples talked about, and that I spoke with Scott Brinker about in detail, was the internal process that organizations need to understand and figure out before they start buying tools. I've heard a lot from companies and written it a lot that one of the problems organizations have is they see a new tool, say an AI tool, and they try to get the software first and then figure out where it fits second. And that seems to be where a lot of companies have problems, is they buy a tool and then try to find a problem for it to solve. Whereas what Scott said during his keynote and what was echoed throughout a lot of the other sessions was you need to have a problem, you need to have a goal to solve first, and then figure out which of these 5,000 or so tools is the best to solve that problem. And that can be difficult, especially when you don't know really where to start. One of the other things Scott and I spoke about in our sit down, which there's a nice Q&A on searchcrm.com highlighting our chat, was that for companies to really figure out what's in this landscape, they need to allow their marketing personnel to experiment a little bit with products. Try out the demos that every software vendor offers up. And really see if, okay, if you're looking for a better lead scoring, try these different tools and see which ones come up with what you're looking for. And that sort of experimentation is needed, but it's also difficult to do in some organizations, according to Scott.
And that's a huge difference from, you know, the vendor-oriented conferences we go to, because it must have been refreshing to hear somebody say, hey, don't do ready, fire, aim with your software. Have the end in mind and then find the tools to get it, as opposed to, you know, you go to the Pegasystems or Oracle or Microsoft show and, you know, come on in, we can solve all your problems.
Exactly.
With all of our new features.
It was, I think you said refreshing. That's a very good way to put it. It was, you know, you go to Dreamforce is coming up and you're looking at the agenda now and you have, you know, different sessions titled how Sales Cloud can revolutionize your processes or all these things that kind of put the product up on a pedestal, but you don't know what problem it's going to solve or how it's going to interact or change the other software that you have already. And that's a difficult problem to have if you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on licensing fees. All of a sudden now it's affecting the rest of your business processes. Not only are you losing money, but you're probably going to be upsetting your workforce too.
Right. That's another point, because when you try demos out of big technology, especially SaaS technologies, and when I say big, I mean investment mm-hmm. in monthly subscription fees, maybe you find something that works perfectly and returns excellent results. But if your employees hate them and can't figure out how to use them in everyday workflows, then it's a disaster. It's another fail, and you've lost months or a year against your competitors mm-hmm. who's probably using a much tighter integration of their MarTech stack. So the test drive philosophy is probably just as important as have an end in mind, because that way your employees can give you feedback. Whoa, this doesn't work. We can't use this. Or, wow, this one is so much more easy to use. Maybe we can sort of bend it to our whims, even though it doesn't quite return the perfect results.
And Scott touched on that too, that, you know, when you have so many options, and if you don't have the organizational structure to kind of put all those together, you can end up in a scenario that he described where you have three different departments using three different tools to find out the same logic. And with that, you're wasting money, you're wasting efficiency, whereas if you kind of put it together and found one tool and got all these different departments talking, now you're looking at a business that seems to be going in the right direction as far as kind of this movement towards more digital processes.
Right, and the data integration is better. When you have nine different tools, what you have at the end is nine different silos, as opposed to, you know, well, at least that's what the Oracles and Pegasystems and Microsofts of the world would tell us.
I think there's something with that. I mean, it seems kind of common sense that when you have more plugs and more connectors, there's a larger chance that one of those can break, and now your data is kind of siloed. With that, there's also issues with if you just have one giant platform doing it all, you might be losing some insight that a third party plugin can provide. One of the last points me and Scott talked about was the explosion of over 5,000 marketing products in the space. Is there any, you know, is the pendulum going to swing back the other way, and is there going to be a big consolidation race? He didn't have a clear answer either way. He kind of sat in the middle there, and it makes sense. I mean, you'll see We saw it just last year with Salesforce, where they bought, I think it was around 10 or 12 different smaller companies to kind of fill holes in their system, and definitely kind of added some of that growth to consolidation. Microsoft has done the same, Oracle. All the large companies will do their part to consolidate, but Scott said as that happens, you're constantly seeing more startups kind of fill those spots that have left. And for some, you know, some startups are content staying at this size, doing one thing really well, and being a company that does that for as long as they can. Others are doing it to eventually get the payday and become part of Salesforce while cashing out. And then others, of course, are hoping that they are the next Salesforce, they are the next Oracle. So he doesn't really, he still sees consolidation as something that will always happen when you have so many big fish, but he also doesn't see much of a stop to the constant growth of new products and new innovations, which is probably good for the space.
Last question, and I'm guilty as charged for burying the lead, but the week before the MarTech conference, it was announced that Brinker was joining HubSpot. Now, what do you have to say about that? I know it's still a brand new relationship, but that was a bombshell announcement at HubSpot Inbound, where 20,000...
Yes.
Yeah.
It was, and Scott Brinker is a well-known personality in the marketing tech space. Obviously, his Chief MarTech blog is popular, as is the infograph that he releases every year. And I think HubSpot noticed that, and as you know, and as our listeners probably know, HubSpot started as kind of a single point solution company and has grown to more, becoming more of a platform type play, or at least it hopes to be. And with that, you start, you know, Salesforce is the prime example of that, where they start off with one or two clouds, they grow out a platform, and all of a sudden they have a robust app exchange of third-party software vendors being able to plug in and add different insights to the Salesforce platform. Brinker sees HubSpot kind of at that reflection point now, and he believes that's why he was hired. He said they had spoken back and forth for a while, and basically being hired as, I believe the title is a vice president of platform ecosystem. It's, from his words, he sees it as his job is to help HubSpot navigate the future of what a platform is supposed to look like. So when someone like Scott, who's so embedded in the marketing tech space and has at least some sort of opinion or insight on these 5,000 different software vendors, I think for HubSpot, it made sense to bring him on as someone who can help guide them in that right direction. As for Scott, he made a funny little joke in his keynote about how HubSpot has continued a tradition of Boston-based companies that primary color is orange. It's his third one, I believe, and he said that the fourth one, he put up orange, put up Boston, and said he's going to work at Dunkin' Donuts next, which is obviously a bit of a joke. I think Dunkin's probably doing okay, and I think there's a little bit of a, not quite the blend that Scott's looking for there. But for Scott, I think, you know, being able to hook on to a growing software company like HubSpot was a good step for him as well, and from what I could see, he seems excited to be in his new role, and it doesn't look like he's really giving up much on the Chief MarTech side. So I know I'm anxious to see what the infograph in 2018 looks like, if there's 5,000 of them in
HubSpot in the middle.
That'll be the other thing, is see where HubSpot gets put, where their geography is on that map. But it's definitely an interesting future for HubSpot, for Scott, and obviously for the marketing tech space, which, you know, looks like it will grow well past 5,000 next year. So it's going to continue that these marketing reps, these marketing managers are going to always need some sort of guidance on how to navigate this growing space.
All right. Well, this has been very interesting and informative. Looks like we'll be heading to this conference next year if we get an invite.
I think we will. It was definitely worth our time.
All right. Have a good one, Jesse.
You too, Don.